hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And here we are with episode 132 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
That is a me.
That is a you. It's a strange week. Everything seems stopped dead for no good reason this year.
It is weird, isn't it? It's like everybody's taking, like, all of our pop culture sources have agreed to take a nap or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's stuff, I know we have some stuff to talk about. There's some other stuff that I just remembered that we might not get time to talk about.
Okay.
And really that's just, you know, Gifted coming up on its climax and an Orville thing, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, sure.
But we can deal with old TV first older TV first if you want.
Older TV. Yes, let's talk about old TV, ye old TV.
Alright, so I started watching The Magicians.
The Magicians.
I think I mentioned that I don't remember if I mentioned that on air or not last week.
I don't know. I cannot remember that either, but you've been plowing through.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, again, like, I've been having, I don't know if I'm lucky or sad that I've had the time to just, you know, actually start binging shit, so I'm kind of, like, halfway through season two? Maybe not halfway? No, not halfway.
So, let's say whoever has not watched The Musicians will probably be spoiling the living hell out of it, at least up to mid-season two.
Yeah.
So what's going on at this point in The Magicians?
Alice died. Well, went niffin. Quentin, like, has a corporate job.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Penny, like, has the hands that, like, he has his second replacement hands that can't do magic.
Right.
So he goes off back to Antarctica. You know, magic is dying. The whole thing.
Right. Oh, so magic is in crisis. Okay, so it's Tuesday on The Magicians.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And Elliot and Margot are off running Fillory.
Right.
So, I gotta say, it's a little better in season two, but one thing that really started to annoy me in season one, and I pushed through because it was a minor, well, I don't know if it was minor, but it was annoying, was that it felt like every episode ended in the middle of a scene. Like, it was just, it was weird. It was just like almost like a commercial break ending.
You know?
Like, they're like, I don't know, it didn't feel like an end of an episode ever.
And so it's,
I kept waiting for the next, well, I mean, I, you know, didn't keep waiting for the next thing because there were credits, but that's kind of mentally, I was just like, okay, and then it was like, oh, we'll come back next episode. Which I guess works in that, like, you want to watch the next episode, right?
I hope so, yes.
But it's obnoxious.
That it is. I mean, fortunately, you're not doing what I always do with Magicians, which is I watch it live, so I'm usually going week to week.
Right.
So I always have to, like, so for me, that was always like, okay, guess I got another week to wait. And then...
Right. It was really, like, they've gotten better with it in season two. The, like, episode endings feel more like actual endings.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the first season, just that was really weird.
Well, the first season had some issues. I mean, I found quite often, especially in the first half of the first season, and I think I've said this to you before, was that they seemed to be coming out of the gate trying to be, look how edgy we can be. It's Harry Potter, but they smoke and drink and they have sex and whoa. So I found that a little bit frustrating, and I was just very... I can't tell you how happy I was when they finally stopped that nonsense.
Sure. I mean, part of my problem right now with the second season is although they seem to have a much firmer setting of what they want to do, is that, you know, we were shown, I mean, they spent, 13 episodes showing us how much fun these characters are when they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not getting that anymore.
Yeah, you'll find that they quite often... From here on out, they rarely have all the characters together in the same way as in the first season. They tend to send them off on different adventures.
It's a weakness.
It is. It is a problem with the show, and they almost never seem to figure it out. But except in that the main plot points often, after a while, seem to be getting all the characters together. So.
Well, sure. I mean, it lets you do that, like, and now you know something serious because they're all in the same room type of thing.
Exactly,
but...
yeah. And that's usually the best, that's usually the best part of the show when that happens.
Right, and that's my problem, right? Is like, that's always been the best part of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Is having these, you know, characters who don't really like each other much bounce off of each other?
Mm-hmm.
I both really like the whole magic thing and really don't.
Oh, do tell.
I like the spell casting with, you know, the various, like, it's a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
With hand motions and all that. Like, it's very stylish. It's very stylized. It doesn't come across like anything else.
That's true.
Which I think is
yes.
a really big bonus.
Yeah.
You know, you can't look at this and just be like, oh, they're just doing this. It's like, no, they're having fun with it, you know? But this is one of the least defined systems of magic I've ever seen.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
Like, I don't even begin to know what their rules are. Not that you need to, but, like, it's the problem I have with Harry Potter, too. Like, it's just whatever it needs to be at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is fine when you start. This is my problem with Harry Potter for a bunch of it. It's fine when you start because the characters are still learning. You're still learning. But a season into the show, it's like, okay, we need something. Other than like, well, this spell is too strong. Okay, why? What does that mean? You know, where does this go?
I know exactly what you mean. And they don't really seem to have coherent rules, but I do like they seem to have like a coherent politics of magic.
Yes.
That aspect of the show I really enjoy. When you get Marina, played by Casey Rohl, sort of like the hedge witch, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that character, and I love all the sort of what that means, the world of like sort of academic magic, and then there's larger structures behind that, and then you've got these hedge witches who are basically, you know, begging for scraps and whatnot. I just that much I enjoy.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. There's a lot to like in that end, and not that I want like, you know, rule lawyering. Like, I don't want that either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want the, like, oh, well, they couldn't cast this because they were level 6. Like, I don't want to turn to D&D.
Right.
But at the same time, like, there needs to be some feeling of, oh, well, they're screwed or they're not screwed or whatever, and you don't know.
Right.
From scene to scene, realistically.
Yeah.
Like, on any sort of even gut level, you just have no clue where they are in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Which is... a little weird. But again, it's also not that uncommon in shows and books and whatever that have magic, right? Like, that is a fairly common problem.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
But, you know, it's like they introduce, like, time travel stuff, and it's like, okay, well, we can do all the shit, and it's like, wait, what? You can? You know, it's, hey! This opens doors I don't know if you want to open. And then they're just going to leave them alone until I guess they need them again.
Yeah, pretty much.
What I did think was interesting is you know, at some level, and fairly bluntly, of course, they kind of link a lot of the ideas of magic and magicians and all this to, like, drug use and mental health.
That's a big theme running through. I mean, it's how, and I think it's, you know, how would it look if you, I mean, with Julia, for example, how would it look if,
right.
if you had this sort of secret? How would it look to the outside world? Well, you'd look like a nut, you know, or you'd look
sure.
like you were like an addict, like you, or some kind of problem. So there's that, but it also, I'm not sure if drug addiction works within the magic world in the same way, but I don't know, the worst thing they've ever done
right.
with that was probably that season 6 of Buffy when when they did Magical Drug Addiction. That was bad. It was really bad, Adam. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's I have issues with it. And the whole, like, oh, look, he has depression, but now that he has magic, he doesn't because he feels like he's understood. It just, it's weird hedging around things.
Mm-hmm.
But what that did for me, at least, was it was like, okay, well, the drug addiction thing that very obviously, like, they kind of go for, especially with Julia, right?
Right.
Is, I think, really a fake out. Because I realize that what they're discussing and how they're discussing magic, and I don't know if Grossman meant this, I don't know if the show writers mean this, but there's a whole lot of how they discuss magic and all of it that comes down to artists.
Oh, yeah.
Like musicians, painters, writers, and all that.
Yes.
You know, you have this thing, and you need to do this thing, and it sucks, and to a certain extent, like, you know, paint, like, your life experience is what helps you level up.
Right.
Be it bad or good. And, of course, everyone inside it always pins it on the bad.
Right, of course.
And ignores how the good side helps. And that's very, you know, like everyone I know, including me. You fall down that trap for a while.
Yeah, that's part of the growth of being an artist. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I didn't think about the magicians in those terms exactly, but I mean, it's really obvious now that you say it.
Right, and like even down to the schools in Breakbells, like you have like the physical kids, who you would think would be like more like painters, right? You have the learning kids who are just like nonfiction writers,
right?
You know, and so on and so forth. Like you can kind of line them up,
and then there are like the ones who could like the travelers are. Who seem to be, like, having the same social position as, like, performance artists or something, just, like...
Right.
You know, it's the psychics.
And everyone kind of stares at them like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Well, that's some bullshit, they all think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get a kick out of that. Yeah, so it's sort of like a fine arts... It's like a liberal arts school, basically.
Yeah, it's a conservatory, yeah. Right? Like, it really is.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have people, like, you know, the hedge witches who are, on some level, just not even, like, street performers, say, but just that kind of, like, well, I just did this myself. I don't need, like, your fucking, you know, training necessarily. And
right.
You can do that, but you still have to rediscover the same rules.
Yeah.
It's kind of a longer road, but you can get there.
Yes.
And this is without, of course, discussing the ages of things. Because, man, the show, like Doom Patrol, which we will get to, it seems to just posit that everyone's just been alive forever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know what it is with these certain shows, which is like, oh yeah, no, this happened like 100 years ago. It's like, yeah, I was there. Like, what?
I always get a kick out of that. I frankly, I love it. I love it when shows do stuff like that. I'm like, sure, you were there.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And you just be like, oh, look, it's magic. So fine, yeah. Fuck it, right? But yeah, it's a perfectly good watchable show. Like, it's not the deepest, best thing in the world.
No, probably not. I enjoy it. They're still figuring out. I think season 3 is where it really comes together for me. They do some pretty amazing things. But they still have the same issues. Like, I'm in the midst of season 4 right now. And they're still trying to get everybody together. And it's like, God, come on. Oh, they do meet Santa Claus.
Right.
In season 4. That's pretty fun.
All right, then.
He's just some guy. He's been locked up for, like, magical crimes. And he's like, all I wanted was to just, you know, make children smile. And they're like, wait a minute. Are you Santa Claus? He's like, well, nice. Sure. Yeah. It's good. There's a lot of chuckle-worthy bits as the show progresses.
Yeah, I've also been fascinated by their mode on cursing.
It changes,
at least,
yeah.
You know, I know, like, on Netflix, they're uncensored. And I was curious about that, because I'm like, here's some sci-fi, what are they doing? And yeah, it's just like some things apparently they drop the audio on, some things they kind of don't. The way they drop the audio is kind of sketchy.
Yeah, they don't. They've stopped doing that. The characters just curse now.
Well, and again, you might be watching because, like, Netflix has the uncensored ones, so I don't know if in Canada you just get the uncensored ones.
Oh no, they actually Sci-Fi actually announced, like, they actually announced when they decided that they could actually include a certain number of F-bombs per. I don't know whether it's still dropped on Sci-Fi, like whether it's still censored out on Sci-Fi, but I think it's less censored now.
Okay.
Because
Yeah, it
previously,
was just funny.
even the uncensored version still, like, they weren't uncensored. They still dropped the audio out periodically. Yeah.
So weird.
It is very odd. I know exactly what you mean. Because they would curse and the audio would drop. I'm like, wait, why? And then Sci-Fi
Yeah,
said,
like
nope, we'll let it go. So.
Yeah, the other thing is that I was just digging a little bit, trying not to spoil myself, but like just the how different are these from the books, because if the books
Right.
run like this, I might want to read them. And just reading just a little bit about some of the differences, I'm like, okay, I never want to read the books.
Yeah, don't. I've read some of the books. I've read at least one of them, and I'm like, no, thanks.
I mean, just the thing that, like, apparently in the books, Elliot isn't, like, openly gay.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just like, how do you do this character? Like, you have obviously. And
Yeah.
just that actor, by the way, is just, I want to see him in other things. Like, he is
Oh, I know.
fantastic.
He's by and large my. I think he might. He and Margot. Holy shit! I love their dynamic, and I mean, any scene with Margot just like cursing somebody out is absolutely like it's worth the
Yeah, every
price
now
of
and then I just feel
admission.
like at some point she ends up on Veep, right? Because.
Oh yes, I think that's exactly it. Yeah, and the best is
Also, because I
even.
have gotten.
Sorry,
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to, even in the face of like absolute tragedy and heartbreak, she's still like her mode is to just produce a slightly heightened version of the same sort of like pissy delivery, and it's perfect.
Yeah. Although I do like that the show, at the very least, I assume the books do the same thing, explicitly opens a door for the books having been a version of this story. Because, once we get that whole, well, it's a time loop, and there have been 39 tries, this is the 40th,
Right.
and every time something changes. I mean, obviously, I'm sure in the books, like, they win, so it wouldn't work, because that would be the time that works. And I'm sure the book kind of says the same thing, but I'm like, okay, maybe in some ver like things were closer to the books. It's just a fun toy.
I think I
It's
remember.
meaningless, but it's a funny toy.
It is quite fun. I actually the thing I like about the time loops is that you get all these situations as the show goes forward in which different characters have different relationships with one another because they simply come from different timelines. So you have to often you're
Right.
stuck rebuilding things or somebody that they assume is a friend isn't really a friend, that they're actually working towards different ends. And every so often you just get straight up evil versions. Which is legitimately
Right.
quite terrifying when these things happen. Yeah, no, Margot and Elliot, I can't remember the names of the actors now, but they're Summer Bishop is Margot. Elliot, I cannot remember. But yeah, a straight version of Elliot, that's absurd.
Yeah, I can't.
And
And the thing is, like,
also.
there's a bunch of stuff I could be like, oh, you could change stuff, but just, yeah, no, Elliot specifically just being in the closet, just, it breaks everything about the character.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, at least. It doesn't work.
And I don't think in the books that I think in the books Quentin is straight, whereas in this he's bi.
Right.
I don't know how much you get of that yet, but it comes out more.
Okay. Yeah, we've only gotten a little hint, a little bit of it. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I'm just having fun with the show right now. Like, it's, like I said, again, like, it's not something that I'm gonna necessarily ever hit that, like, ooh, I need to see the next episode, like, or else, you know? I can't wait for next season. Yeah. Sure, I mean, on some level, sure, because it's fun to watch and it's kind of compelling.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's not one of those, like, big shows in my, you know, in my life type of moments.
Exactly. It's funny because it's one of the few shows these days that I is reliably like a weekly watch for me. I looked at like, what do I like every week sit down and watch? And like, my weekly viewing habits lately are just freaking awful. I like bad television. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I end up watching all of God Friended Me or something, because, I mean, that's just how bad it is. Yeah, laughter that. But I've been watching The Passage.
I heard the laugh.
Yes. I've been watching The Passage, as you know, which is still terrible. I mean, still scene by scene, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't work. You know, and so on and so forth. Honestly, I want you to watch at least one or two episodes, just so you can share in my misery. I've been watching Siren, which is now on season 2, which is just absolutely bonkers, and I don't even know how to describe it, but except to say that now they've got like an interspecies polyamorous thruple going on.
Sure.
And that's the least weird thing in this show.
I was looking like because again, there's a bunch of TV we both watch, but I was like, what do I always like? Okay, I need to see this like when it happens, type of, or as close as possible, you know. And it's things like, I mean, Young Justice when it was coming out, Doom Patrol right now, Legends,
yes,
you know. So yeah, I pretty much just watch like the weird crap that's like on the fringes, You know, all like the major. It's like whatever. I'll eventually get to that episode of Riverdale. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm past the point of like wanting to watch Riverdale weekly. I'm like, it'll be there. It'll be suitably bonkers for when I'm in the mood.
Right, but like again, like something like Legends or Doom Patrol, which we should talk about. You know, that's the stuff where you're just like, okay, well, they're gonna do something really weird. I don't know what it'll be,
but they'll do it, and I'll love it. Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the old Doom Patrol then. Unless you got some more magicians.
No, we okay. Happily.
Oh, actually, there's one thing I wanted to mention, and it's a thing in the books that they've brought over into the show, which I was not super thrilled about, and it's I liked the fact that the author of the Fillory books turns out to be a child abuser, because I'm like, oh, that suddenly it's just sort of like a lot of literature I read as a kid suddenly weirdly snapped into focus in a way, and I'm not quite sure how to put it, but I'm like, and of course how the author's abuse ends up creating the beast and so on. But the whole thing with Julia getting her powers, you're at that point. You've gotten there.
Yeah,
basically having them raped into her. It was bad in the books, and I'm like, how are they going to do this in the show and not do that? I'm like, oh, I guess they're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I don't, again, like, I don't know if this is something in the books or not. I'm assuming it is. But even, like, with the Alice stuff, it's there's this weird sense of, it feels like a throwback to that era of, like, well, like early Supernatural. you're a woman and you could be kind of awesome, so we better just like do terrible things to you or kill you.
Yeah, there's a bit
and
of
it's
that.
Not a good look.
I don't know if they do that in the books, but I'm never quite sure about, cuz they do a lot of things with Alice's character, or maybe to Alice's character as the show goes on. And it struck me at some point that they didn't quite know what to do with her. And so she's always sort of orbiting the edges these days. I think they find Margot and Julia more interesting. And Penny's always fun. But they seem to like always have Alice off in a different spot and usually being miserable. So, which is not the best. But it's funny, because it is a Supernatural alumnus, I think, who's running that show. It's Sarah Gamble, isn't it? Am I right?
Oh, that's right. She was the show on Supernatural for a few years when it was bad.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to pin that on her. I just...
No. She wrote tons of episodes. Like some other, I remember like some of my favorite episodes of Supernatural or Sarah Gamble.
Yeah, I think again, like her timing was bad. She was the first showrunner after Kripke left, and it was going to be a terrible spot.
I think she did the best job she could with what she had. And it's funny because Doom Patrol, of course, has Jeremy Carver as the creator, and I believe that's another Supernatural alumnus as well.
Yes.
Carver and Gamble
at this point, the show's run for long enough that everyone is, right? Like,
yeah. But I think, like, along with Kripke, I think Gamble and Carver were two of the most sort of prominent creative forces on Supernatural, so good to see them getting work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol. What'd you think?
I'm just a Doom Patrol. I don't patrol for anybody but you. This was as bonkers as I was hoping Doom Patrol would be. I think that's my start. And it has one of my like favorite but least liked comic book tropes, in which all the characters are sort of caught up in the machinations of the villain, who's maybe even altering the reality. And then at one point, one of the heroes goes, "Wait a minute. You're not all powerful. Yeah, we've got this. You're weak." And I'm like, "Oh, you're doing that. All right. Well, I mean, that's how you move forward." So on the one hand, I mean, it was one of those things where I'm always like, I guess they are pretty powerful. But on the other hand, I'm always like, when that moment comes, I'm always like, yeah, you got it.
Right. I mean, and often it is one of those things, if it's almost not earned, there are very few characters that make it work in this situation.
Right.
And there are specific ones that always work for it. And I think, you know, having Cyborg do it is one of the best.
So yeah, it's,
because it's one of these like you can't out trauma me.
Exactly.
You know, it's one of those like, you know, Spider-Man works for this all the time, right? Like
exactly. Yeah.
You're not gonna make it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was
You know, Batman is good for it. Like there are certain characters just you can't out trauma them, so why bother?
Right. Yeah, and it's funny because you see, and it also makes. I know why they brought in Cyborg for the show, because all the other characters are so they're so wrapped up in their own shit, like they're so tangled up in their situations that they're vulnerable to sort of the machinations of Mr. Nobody, but Cyborg has a leveler head. He's the one who seems to have been one of the few who can see his way through the trauma. But I love when they actually sort of call out Cyborg's appearance early on. They're sort of like, "What are you here for? They didn't say nobody likes you, but nobody knows what to do with you," or they just something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking."
Yeah, you just showed up. I also do like the weird conceit of the, you know, yes, they're living in their fantasy worlds and all this, but we have the narrator and we're getting him as narration, but they can hear him as narration as well.
That was pretty funny.
And it's sort of a fourth wall break, but it's a really, really skillfully done one.
Yes. Well, having them put on like the sort of the museum piece type, or the museum tour headphones, and getting the names Goopy. and then having him sort of narrate it in the most annoying fashion possible. And so they're all sort of visiting. So the low grade torture of Alan Tudyk's over the top narration that we have to put up with.
Right.
Now they do as well.
Yeah, it brings it all like not full circle, so it brings it all home, right? Like it.
Right.
It's just one of these. It makes you part of the world in a different way.
Yeah. It's a clever little thing. And I love at the beginning when Calder says, "Who are you talking to?" And he says, "Oh, Grant Morrison fans, etc." I'm like, nice.
There's something with this show to be said about this show as sort of the adult, not adult, but just adult in terms of language, I suppose. But the kind of grim and gritty, which is usually a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
but they're making it work for them here, version of Legends.
Yeah, Legends. I was thinking of Legends as I was watching this. There's some. I think there's some definite similarities to be drawn.
Yeah, if you lightened up the torture, if you lightened up the characters just a bit,
mm-hmm.
this could fit in with Legends perfectly.
Yeah.
That's what I say. It's like it kind of hits that grim, gritty type of thing that comics did so badly for a long time, but it doesn't. Like it still manages to maintain a sense of fun with it. And I think that's where we're seeing that Legends connection.
Mm-hmm. I think
you know, right now it's sort of in tone what Arrow wishes it was.
Yeah.
For that sort of tone, at least, but it also has the DNA of Legends in it somehow.
I'm a little bummed that they killed off what was shaping up to be my favorite character. The donkey just blows up.
I don't know that the donkey's dead necessarily. Donkey's gone for now.
Yeah, I mean, probably we'll get more donkey.
And that entire Rita speech with the whole, like, what are you going to do? Put me in a garbage bag and poke a hole in it and squeeze me into the donkey? It's like, all right, go get a garbage bag. And it's just like...
What is that moment? And then Cyborg looks like, would that work?
It's terrible.
I mean, and the pleasure of the joke is that you know that's what's going to happen as she's saying it, but you just...
I honestly didn't. Like, I really figured they'd figure out, like, somewhere, like, you know, she'd reach a hand in or something. Like, I didn't think they'd actually just go, like, well, okay. You know, it was just... I somehow wasn't... I hadn't quite figured... No, that's exactly what this show is, isn't it? Like, this is the show that will do that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just love the boat where they're like, we're going in. We're going in the donkey. That was very, I mean, kudos to them for really sort of just sticking with their ridiculous premise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also do like the Cliff and Jane stuff still building, and it's building so realistically for values of realistic, but it's building so well and quickly, but not feeling forced.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. Like you can, they're not taking their time, but it feels. I thought there was one moment was kind of heartbreaking when you've got Jane as the sort of the baby doll persona who's horrified by Robot Man, and you can see that you've got like what Cliff is looking at there is essentially his own. It's his daughter in some ways, right? Or that's you know he's and so being sort of like. Like having like you know, an adult woman and like with the personality of a young like a young girl sort of freaking out to see him hits him really hard, which I really liked, and sandwiches.
Yeah, no, it's sandwiches. The show is having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's way smarter than it seems to be on the cover, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But I mean, that was Morrison's Doom Patrol too, right? Like no one thought it was what it was for quite a while.
Right. Yeah. It was kind of a. I mean, I mean, this is it's really early Morrison anyway, wasn't it? So maybe people didn't generally know just how weird Morrison could get at that point.
I mean, you know, he'd done Animal Man, which
oh, that's right.
Gets fucking weird, it doesn't quite reach the heights of Doom Patrol.
No.
Also, apparently they've admitted that there's a few other characters we will be seeing. Besides, like, we knew Celsius, we knew Danny the Street.
Who else?
Well, in terms of villains, apparently we will be getting Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man.
Oh, nice. I love that.
And Beard Hunter.
I'm not familiar with Beard Hunter.
Oh, you're going to love Beard Hunter. let me...
Beard Hunter.
Yeah, no, Beard Hunter, it's... He was a Doom Patrol villain. It was a very minor type of thing. But I shit you not, this is actually what Morrison did, okay? He was born with a hormone deficiency that prevented him from growing a beard.
Okay.
So he grew resentful of beards and began a one-man war against facial hair, hunting down and killing people with beards and taking their beards as trophies.
That's more or less what I thought villain named Beard Hunter would be.
But
that's...
he dressed it, like, the outfit is very much like the Punisher. Like, it's like this kind of just, he has a bunch of guns and, like, a onesie and a symbol that is pretty much the Punisher skull, except it has a mustache and beard on it.
Oh my god, of course.
So hopefully they keep that.
Wow, yes, please, please, please let us. I would love, I would love an episode centered around someone named Beard Hunter.
He will apparently be showing up at some point.
Well,
God help us
damn.
all.
Well, hot damn then.
I mean, it's just like the definition of deep cut right there would be Beard Hunter, right? Like when I was reading this, I was like, holy shit, they're going deep enough to do like Animal Vegetable Mineral Man. Like, that's a thing. And I was like, and Beard Hunter. I'm like, okay, Animal Vegetable Mineral Man just became mainstream comparatively.
They just don't give a shit, DC. I think that's it. They just looked at their streaming service and said, "Do we have any more fucks to give? Nope. Let's make Doom Patrol. Let's go full Grant Morrison. Let's have a donkey
And
bark
you've
out
seen
a
Animal
pillow."
Vegetable Mineral Man, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I am a fan of Animal Vegetable Mineral Man.
Yeah, I
Oh
think
my
it's funny is
God.
that in terms of creators, because he was created by Arnold Drake back when he created Doom Patrol.
Oh.
He's one of the original Doom Patrol villains.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and apparently, like as far as I know, like one of his big fans, like people who just love using the character, it's Keith Giffen. Just the absurdity of the character speaks to him, apparently. Which I understand, because I'm right there with him.
Oh, see, I'm just looking up Animal Vegetable Mineral Man here. Oh, that's right, he
Mean,
appears
it's going to be
in.
expensive effect-wise, but
Yeah. But, you know, just imagine like his arm turning into like a big stick of celery or something and beating
right, like
people
half
with
his head turning into a dinosaur head, like
it.
sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But again,
I'm
that
all.
fits with this show, doesn't it?
It really does. Oh, wow. And it, yeah, he was on an episode of Brave and the Bold. That's right.
Yes.
Because I knew the character, but I was trying to remember where I knew him from. And now I know.
Yeah, one of those weird things of like, if they keep this show in continuity with Titans, which I don't know if they will, frankly.
Yeah,
But if
it'll
they
be.
do, weirdly enough, I'm just sitting here going, we're gonna get Batmite someday. It just occurs to me that like this is what's gonna happen.
I really want a crossover Titans Doom Patrol episode, and I want it to happen on Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Or actually, it might be fun to have it on Titans, so they basically, but like after Doom Patrol has established itself, and like all the Titans are just like they just cannot believe the bizarre bullshit that these people are up to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can also bring in, I don't know if they will, they haven't announced it, God knows, and they have a lot to do, but Ambush Bug would fit with this.
Oh, yes, you're right. Well,
But
so.
again, like, it's gonna be a crowded show as it is, like Titans, like, they do seem to be throwing a lot at the wall. So, we will see.
Now, have you, by the by, have you poked your head into Umbrella Academy yet?
No.
Ah, okay.
I wasn't a huge fan of the comics. Like, I haven't read much of it, but it never really struck me.
Right.
So I'm just like, you know, I have enough stuff to watch right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe eventually. And again, like, I don't do Hulu, so it, you know.
Fair enough.
I keep meaning to like I keep meaning to like reach out toward Hulu because it's like, I mean, Umbrella Academy is Hulu, right?
No, it's
I thought it was.
Netflix. No, it's Netflix. At least in
Oh, okay.
Canada, it's Netflix. Remember, what's
Well,
Hulu?
that's that doesn't
Runaways is Hulu.
Right. And
Cloak and Dagger? Is Cloak and Dagger Hulu or is that
Cloak
Netflix?
and Dagger. Yeah, you're right. It is Umbrella Academy is Netflix. So I have no reason to avoid it, except I just, again, have enough stuff right now.
Fair enough. It's okay. It is. I find it is weirdly sort of. I mean, it could be a lot of fun, but it seems oddly uninterested in enjoying itself. So, which is kind of a shame.
That's weird.
Except for one actor who plays one of the children, Robert Sheehan. He's a British actor. He was in the first few seasons of Misfits. And he is very, very good. Like he seems to be the only person in the cast who is like actually enjoying himself.
Nice.
So, I would watch a spinoff with Robert Sheehan.
Gotcha.
That's. Yeah. So anyway, we're coming up on the 45-minute mark, and I gotta run.
No problem. I mean, you know, we didn't really have much going on today, so.
Yeah, no, so we gotta.
We can end this a little early. Toss up some music.
Oh yeah, let's get that music going on. Woo!